produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. We look forward to this message that will be shared today on this edition of Power Up Your Family. As I thought about the last several years of sharing this this program and this movement, if you will, it dawned on me that the importance of family strength and stability has become even more important as we approach each and every year that has passed since the start of this program. There are so many voices and distractions and movements afoot in the world that are Satan-inspired that threaten the very foundations of our society. And as we well know, core foundation of any community, any society, is how well are the families doing? How strong are the families? And we can go into a lot of statistics about the decline of the nuclear family. You know, it wasn't that many years ago in the 50s and 60s that 70-80% of all children born were in households with two parents. And today that trend is the total opposite. 70% of children born are in single-parent households within certain ethnic demographics. So unfortunately, we know that when a child is born into a single-parent household, the potential for school poor performance, for juvenile delinquency, for incarceration, for limitations on career development and financial success and stability are greatly diminished. So we just need to be mindful that we can do a better job as a society and as individuals with our own families to help bring the next generation forward in a positive way so that we can reverse decades of decline in the strength of the family. Today I want to focus on kind of a positive note. Earlier over the weekend on the Sunday edition of Music and the Spoken Word, the message that was delivered by the host of that program, Lloyd Newell, shared the following message. He said, the story is told of a man who was looking through his wife's belongings shortly after she passed away. In her dresser, he found a very nice piece of clothing that she had bought on a trip many years earlier. He realized that she had never worn it. She was saving it for a special occasion, and now it was too late. Later, the husband shared this experience with a friend, adding his advice, "Don't save something only for a special occasion. Every day in your life is a special occasion." Those words changed his friend's life. She said, quote, "Now I spend more time with my family. I use crystal glasses every day. I'll wear new clothes to go to the supermarket if I feel like it." The words "someday" and "one day" are fading from my vocabulary. Now I take the time to call my relatives and closest friends. I've called old friends to make peace over past quarrels. I tell my family members how much I love them. I try not to delay or postpone anything that could bring laughter and joy into our lives. And each morning I say to myself that this could be a special day. Each hour, each minute is special. So many of our days, with their humdrum, their pressures, and their demands, don't seem particularly special. But the fact is that life itself is miraculous and marvelous. It is, in a word, special. That doesn't mean every day is always sunny and sparkling. We all have hard days and challenges, some of them ongoing. But it's also true that every day has something special. Some little thing that makes the day special. A bit of beautiful music. The sound of a bird. Cool breeze on a hot day. The thoughtfulness of a friend. Usually the little things are the big things. In waiting for a special occasion, we might miss the many special occasions happening every day. So what if instead of postponing life, we lived each day as a gift? After all, the fact that God has given us another day of life is surely cause to celebrate. As I listened to that message, and the friend indicated that she was now using her crystal glasses every day, I immediately thought about the fine china that we received as wedding gifts back on November 6, 1971, over 50 years ago. We still have all of those china pieces, the plates, the salad plates, the bowls, all the settings, and not one has been broken in that 50-plus years. I guess the reason why is we've only used that china for special occasions. As I thought about this message that was delivered in that episode of Music and the Spoken Word, it made me appreciate the fact that maybe we should use that fine china more regularly. One of the excuses I guess I had come up with is on some special occasion, one of our grandkids wanted to warm up some food and had put one of the china plates in the microwave. And there's a thin band of gold around the edge of the china plate. And there were sparks that started flying in the microwave. And, of course, there was a small little singe mark on the plate, which at the time I was not at all happy about. We eventually got it cleaned out. But after that, knowing that grandkids and others wanted to warm their food up in the microwave, they kind of stopped using that china for special occasions. But I have an idea of how in the future we can use that china and not run the risk of having it burnt up in the microwave. Moving on. So, special days are important. There was an interesting man that I got to know a number of years ago by the name of George Durant. George Durant was serving as the president of the Kentucky Louisville Mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in 1975, in the latter part of the month of May, my wife and I became members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And shortly after, in the month of June, there was a conference that we attended where the mission president, George Durant, spoke, had the opportunity to get to meet him, was fascinated by his message and his dynamic personality, and truly became a fan of George Durant. The next year, after completing his service as a mission president, he wrote an inspiring book called Love at Home, Starring Father. And I've treasured that book over the years as I've read it and reread it, where he talks about the importance of fathers in the home. But later on, a few years after that book, and he's written over 50 books, or collaborated or written over 50 books, he wrote a book entitled My Best Day So Far. He calls it a how-to book on happiness. And I thought about the word "my best day so far" as it relates to the message of a special occasion. In his book, he says, "Today I walked into my supervisor's office. He casually asked me, 'How you doing?' I replied, 'It's my best day so far.' Suddenly I had his complete attention. He seemed shocked by my reply. 'Your best day so far,' he restated in a questioning tone. 'That's right,' I quickly and confidently replied. Now he had another question. 'How old are you, George?' I told him my age. He began to write on a piece of paper on his desk. And as he did, he muttered, "That means that you've lived 365 days a year for X number of years." Finally, when he had finished his calculations, he spoke again. "That means you have lived 21,170 days. And you stand there and tell me that this is your best day so far?" "That's right," I assured him. I sensed that he was not convinced that I was telling him the truth. I, of course, knew that it didn't matter whether he believed me. All that mattered was that I believed myself. Some ask me, "How can you say that this is your best day so far? What about your wedding day? Wasn't that a better day than today?" I reply, "Still and will forever have my wedding day in joy of my dear Marilyn. And I'll have the day when my first child was born. I'll always have the day when the sleigh runner broke and I talked to those I loved about good things and found who I really was. I'll always have the day when I was drinking a milkshake in Don's sweet shop and I realized that I could do stuff. I'll always have the day when I fed the blind duck. I'll always have the day when my son and I made it all the way to the top of Mount Olympus and looked down on our wonderful world. I'll always have the day when I saw the newly plowed, black, damp, fertile, rich soil just waiting for Frot and me to go work and make our fortunes. I'll always have the day when I read in my school yearbook the words of the school's classiest girl that I was the nicest boy in the senior class. I'll always have the night when I learned that hope was the foundation upon which I could build a dream. I'll always have the day when a girl said that she respected me and I was able to say to myself that I respected me too. I'll always have the day when the captain treated me with justice. I'll always have the day when the Navy wouldn't have me, but my mother's mercy told me that there was hope. I'll always have 20,000 other wonderful days, each of which made my life what it is today. Many of those days would surely be leading candidates to have been my best day so far, but none of them is the winner. Any of them could be second. There is only one day that is my best day so far, and that is today. Today is the day for me to sing, 'This is my day, my best day so far.' And if today is not my best day so far, then I need to repent. I need to sing in the morning and all day. I need to hear in my heart, 'He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to help me do all I need to do to make this my best day so far. I need to walk humbly with my God by talking sincerely about good things with those whom I love. I need to have confidence and start doing some new good stuff. I need to get joy out of doing simple things like walking, feeding animals, and enjoying nature and my own thoughts. I need to find a mountain and climb it all the way to the top, even though it is not a very high mountain. I need to find a newly plowed field and start planting the seeds of my dreams. I need to be nice to everybody I meet I need to pray for hope and repent from those things which cause me to despair. I need to stop doing those things that don't cause me to have self-respect and start doing those things that do. I need to treat people with justice, even though that is harder on me sometimes than it is on them. And oh, how I need to be merciful. And when I see that someone is already down, I need to not push them further down, but rather help them up. Then when I've done these things and some other things that I will somehow know at the time that I should do, then today and tomorrow and each new day will be my best day so far, and I sure will be happy. But now it's time to say, I love you, Marilyn. That was his wife. I love you, life. I love you, my dear Lord, because this is my best day so far. This good brother lost his first wife, remarried a couple of years later, and now is still thriving at the age of 91. A remarkable concept, my best day so far. A little background about this wonderful brother, George Durant. As I mentioned, he's authored or co-authored over 50 books. And obviously, when people would greet him, they would ask him, how are you doing? And he said that in the beginning of his book, a church leader once greeted me by asking the age-old question, how are you? Without hesitating, I replied, nearly perfect. Seeming somewhat surprised, he good-naturedly asked, oh, really? Just what is it, George, that is keeping you from being completely perfect? Laughingly, I replied, I still lie. He smiled, and I could tell that he believed me. In our society, the most frequently asked question by a margin of 607-1 is, how are you? Or more expertly, I warmly asked, how you doing? The common answer to this most thought-provoking question is the all-encompassing word, fine. But to respond solely with fine is the most non-creative, non-descriptive, unexciting law answer ever devised. Being just fine places you about 6.5 miles short of being happy. Feeling as I do about the world, the word fine, I have for years searched for a better answer. For a time when asked, how you doing? I experimented with the answer, champion. When that lost its appeal, I switched to superb. When that began to sound hollow, I changed to not half bad. That is a British approach. But never was my thirst for just the right answer quenched. Then one day when I was feeling so full of joy that I could scarcely contain it, someone asked me, how are you? And without even thinking, I blurted out, my best day so far. And without even thinking, as I continued on my way, it suddenly occurred to me that I had just found the answer that I had been looking for. Let's try it and see what you think. You ask me, George, how you doing? I'll reply to you, my best day so far. What do you think? Isn't that the most perfect answer that you've ever heard? I like it so well that I've decided to write a book, this book, My Best Day So Far. Of course, responding by saying my best day so far is not the same as nearly perfect. Nearly perfect is fraught with a bit of a lie. On the other hand, when someone asks, how you doing? And you reply, my best day so far, you can tell the absolute truth every day of your life. So the book, as he says, was his attempt to make some suggestions that could make today, tomorrow, and every day that follows our best day so far. So special occasions and my best day so far, as I pondered on this, it reminded me of a message that was delivered a number of years ago, back in 2007, by an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the name of Elder Dallin H. Oaks, entitled Good, Better, best. He started off his message by saying we have to forego some good things in order to choose others that are better or best, because they develop faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen our families. Most of us have more things expected of us than we can possibly do. As breadwinners, as parents, as church workers and members, we face many choices on what we will do with our time and other resources. We should begin by recognizing the reality that just because something is good is not a sufficient reason for doing it. The number of good things we can do far exceeds the time available to accomplish them. Some things are better than good, and these are the things that should command priority attention in our lives. Jesus taught this principle in the home of Martha. While she was cumbered about much serving, her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. When Martha complained that her sister had left her to serve alone, Jesus commended Martha for what she was doing, commended Martha for what she was doing, but taught her that, quote, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, close quote. It was praiseworthy for Martha to be careful and troubled about many things, but learning the gospel from the master teacher was more needful. Elder Oaks says, a childhood experience introduced me to the idea that some choices are good, but others are better. He said, I lived for 2 years on a farm. We rarely went to town. Our Christmas shopping was done in the Sears Roebuck catalog. I spent hours poring over its pages. For the rural families of that day, catalog pages were like the shopping mall or the internet of our time. Something about some displays of merchandise in the catalog fixed itself in my mind. There are 3 degrees of quality: good, better, and best. Now, when he shared this message, he was 75 years of age, and he says, for example, some men's shoes were labeled good, $1.84, some better, $2.98, and some best, $3.45. He goes on to say, as we consider various choices, we should remember that it is not enough that something is good. Other choices are better, and still others are best. Even though a particular choice is more costly, its far greater value may make the best choice of all. Consider how we use our time and the choices we make in viewing television, playing video games, surfing the internet, or reading books or magazines. Of course it is good to view wholesome entertainment or to obtain interesting information. But not everything of that sort is worth the portion of our life we give to obtain it. Some things are better and others are best. When the Lord told us to seek learning, he said, quote, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Next, some of our most important choices concern family activities. Many breadwinners worry that their occupations leave too little time for their families. There is no easy formula for that contest of priorities. However, Elder Oak says, I have never known a man who looked back on his working life and said, quote, I just didn't spend enough time with my job. In choosing how we spend time as a family, we should be careful not to exhaust our available time on things that are merely good and leave little time for that which is better or best. A friend took his young family on a series of summer vacation trips, including visits to memorable historic sites. At the end of the summer, he asked his teenage son which of these good summer activities he enjoyed most. The father learned from the reply, and so did those he told of it. Quote, the thing I liked best this summer, the boy replied, was the night you and I laid on the lawn and looked at the stars and talked. Super family activities may be good for children, but they are not always better than one-on-one time with a loving parent. as I was reminded of that portion of his message, it reminded me of a family vacation we took in 1999 that we had promised our kids for years that we would go to Orlando. And after spending thousands of dollars for airplane tickets and car rental and hotels and meals and venue admission prices, and we had a really good time, the last day that we were there, we spent out at the beach. And we parasailed, we did the little paddle boats, my youngest son fed some seagulls. And I remember in talking with my youngest son after he and his brother, the three of us, had spent the day together, because everyone else had to fly back to get to work. I asked my youngest son what part of the trip he had enjoyed the most. And it wasn't all those days at the amusement parks and the theme parks and the exciting activities. It was that time he and I had spent at the ocean beach, just enjoying being together. So I'm mindful that time spent with our children is very important, and it doesn't have to be expensive to do. Some of our most important choices concerning family activities, as we've just discussed. So super family activities may be good for children, but they are not always better than one-on-one time with a loving parent. The amount of children and parent time absorbed in the good activities of private lessons, team sports, and other school and club activities also needs to be carefully regulated. Otherwise, children will be overscheduled and parents will be frazzled and frustrated. Parents should act to preserve time for family prayer, family scripture study, family home evening, and the other precious togetherness and individual one-on-one that binds a family together and fixes children's values on things of eternal worth. Parents should teach gospel priorities they do with their children. Now, Elder Oaks went on with many, many additional points, but I wanted to just to kind of conclude here on an important part of this. Family experts have warned against what they call the overscheduling of children. In the last generation, children are far busier and families spend far less time together. Among many measures of this disturbing trend are the reports that structured sports time has doubled, but children's free time has declined by 12 hours per week, and unstructured outdoor activities have fallen by 50%. The number of those who report that their whole family usually eats dinner together has declined by 33%. This is most concerning because the time a family spends together eating meals at home is the strongest predictor of children's academic achievement and psychological adjustment. Family meal times have also shown to be a strong bulwark against children smoking, drinking, or using drugs. There is inspired wisdom in this advice to parents. What your children really want for dinner is you. Former president of our church pleaded that we, quote, work at our responsibility as parents as if everything in life counted on it, because, in fact, everything in life does count on it. He continued, I ask men, particularly, to pause and take stock of yourselves as husbands and fathers and heads of households. Pray for guidance, for help, for direction, and then following the whisperings of the Spirit to guide you in the most serious of all responsibilities. For the consequences of your leadership in your home will be eternal and everlasting. And the message from the leaders of our church, they've declared that however worthy and appropriate other demands or activities may be, they must not be permitted to displace the divinely appointed duties that only parents and families can adequately perform. So I want to conclude by suggesting that when we think about our time, our activities, focus, to remember those three words: good, better, best. May we each resolve in our lives individually, with our families, even with friends, to focus on those things that are best or better, also that are good. Satan knows that those who are faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, them to do evil deeds. Not that it doesn't happen, but Satan's goal is to diminish our effectiveness in building our strong families and in progressing as individuals. So if he can't get you to do evil, he'll strive to get you so busy doing good things that you'll miss out on the better or the best. I testify of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.